Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 266 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this weekend to preview the Brazilian Grand Prix. Of course, one of the highlights of the season. Last year it saw arguably the last dramatic twist of the World Championship. It also saw Alpine, Pierre Gasly and Esteban Ocon get their last podiums to date in Formula One. And it's one that we definitely look forward to, isn't it, Jamie?
It is. It definitely is, especially when there's a bit of weather in the mix, which it looks like there could be this weekend in Brazil. So, yes, I'm very excited. As you said, last year we saw one of the greatest driver performances of all time from Max Verstappen.
I think it's one of the most overhyped driver performances of all time, but there we are.
Winning from 17th. The one thing I will say is that everyone says he won from 17th. That's actually not true, because there were two empty seats in front of him on the grid, or three, yeah. Maybe Albon didn't start.
Two, I believe.
Stroll was from the pit lane.
Yeah,
obviously, yeah, his so teammate and two V carbs, which didn't really count.
No, fraudulent win. Then clearly, that's what we're gonna... actually won from sixth when you discount everything else.
If you start counting from lap five, he did win from sixth.
Yeah, pretty well. No, because he, to be fair to him, I would always say is as much as he got lucky with that red flag of just it was perfectly timed. I will say his lap one was very good.
Oh, yeah.
He did absolutely deserve the victory based on that lap one performance as well.
And the fact he dropped 17 fastest laps in a row at the end of the race.
Yeah, but no one could do anything late on. There was not a way an Alpine would have stayed. Wow. I'm already choking up, apparently.
Choking just like McLaren this season. Crazy.
Apparently so, yeah. I've, at least for them, they actually got most of the way through. I'm only 3 minutes, well, less than that in. Oh, I haven't done that in a while. But yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the present rather than the past, Jamie. Obviously, we've lived in, what, about 10 days since the last episode? So
yeah, it's been ages.
I've missed hearing your voice. But we kind of said, obviously, again, when Jamie and I kind of planned these things, we kind of said, obviously, if something crops up between last week's episode and now, then obviously we do an extra show. Nothing has really happened until about last night in the F1 world, and that's only that we're basically going to be clowning on Zak Brown for some of his comments.
Yes, yes, and a lot of his comments are often pretty poor, pretty misguided, I think. Especially, yeah, I mean, there's been many a comment about his driver lineup being the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yeah, he's basically come out and said last night that he would rather Max Verstappen win the championship, the Drivers' Championship, than McLaren start playing favourites with their drivers, which I think is absolutely ridiculous, personally. I don't know about you.
Well, he's basically said if they end up in a scenario like 2007, which for those of you that don't know, Fernando Alonso and Lewis Hamilton at McLaren, alongside Kimi Raikkonen at Ferrari, all had a shot at the World Championship in that final race. McLaren should have got it sorted out earlier.
Yep.
But then Raikkonen managed to sneak it from underneath the pair of them. Which really, actually, Jamie, when you watch that race back, what they should have done is blown up Fernando Alonso's car on the final lap so Hamilton got the extra point he needed.
What, McLaren should have done that?
Yes.
I guess they already knew Alonso was leaving by then, didn't they? So
exactly.
Maybe they should have done. But
I can understand not wanting to do it earlier on in the race in case then Raikkonen broke down and then suddenly Fernando can win a world championship.
Ironically, McLaren are talking about playing fair and doing all this. Raikkonen only won that race in Brazil because Ferrari didn't play fair, and they made Massa have a terrible strategy to get Raikkonen into first because Massa was leading that race. He was always very good at Interlagos.
He was.
But because he wasn't in the World Championship.
He was the anti-Rubens Barrichello.
Exactly.
He was always good at Interlagos, just incredibly unlucky.
True. But Massa won in 06. He should have won in 07. He did win in 08.
Yep.
Didn't race in 09. And then
he did wave the checkered flag.
He did. I think he got a few more podiums, didn't he, in 10 and 12, if I remember rightly. No, not 2010. No.
No, I was going to say, I don't think he did, if I remember off the top of my head.
But anyway, yeah. McLaren in 2025. The most important, like, lucrative thing. I know everyone says in terms of money it is the constructors, which is true, but
it's the bit the teams care about, of course, but nobody else ever remembers.
Exactly. And when you got the billboards for F1 in 2026, the centre of the billboard is going to be the driver's champion, and you have to do all you can to make that one of your drivers.
Yep.
And I get at the moment, because there's one point between the McLarens and there's, what, 35 points back to Max Verstappen.
Yep.
I get they're not doing it yet. I absolutely get that, because the McLaren drivers are too close to make a call. If you get to Abu Dhabi, and, I don't know, hypothetically, Norris is 12 points ahead of Piastri and 20 points ahead of Verstappen, at that point, you have to favour Lando Norris, I think. Because if you let them race and they end up crashing, then Max Verstappen could easily sneak the championship away, and you should not be losing it from that position.
No. And I know we've talked about this before, obviously, if we were Zak Brown. My whole thing would be, make sure, again, it kind of depends on where the car performance is at against Red Bull, because Red Bull have made a very good resurgence of form more recently. Laurent Mekies has kind of turned that car around a bit. You know, they've found new setup direction. Even Yuki in the second car has been a lot more competitive. I would say, this weekend, and if I was Zak Brown, I'd sit them both down and go, this weekend in Vegas, obviously, because Vegas could be absolutely bizarre, you guys are here to play the team game. The goal is to get to Qatar, where basically, or even, I guess even it would have to be after Qatar, wouldn't it? Because obviously, again, it's a sprint weekend, so there's more points available. I would say we need to get to Qatar with Max Verstappen basically out of the world championship.
Yeah.
You two are playing the team game these next two weekends after Vegas. Obviously, say, for example, they bag a 1-2 this weekend, they bag a 1-2 in Vegas.
It's done.
Which, honestly, I don't think is going to happen. But suddenly then, obviously, if that works out perfectly and they've had a win in the second place each, that means they've pulled out 17 points over Verstappen over those two weekends, which then means Verstappen's over 50 back. You then say, the gloves can come off in Qatar and Abu Dhabi, but you have to play the team game first, and then as soon as Max... I would personally, if it was me, say as soon as Max mathematically can't win it anymore, then do what you like. But I think sensibly, because of the extra sprint race in Qatar and everything like that, you're kind of going, if you two can bag a 1-2 either way around these next two weekends, then go hell for leather in Qatar and Abu Dhabi and go for it. And whoever wins, wins. Up to that point, your goal is make sure Max Verstappen cannot win.
Exactly. And to be honest, I've been growing more and, well, less and less confident about Red Bull and Max
Verstappen. Hang on a minute. You were really confident after
US. No, I know.
A couple
it's
of weeks
just a
ago.
Feeling I've got. I don't know what it is. You know, like, Frentzen. I mean, you won't. Obviously, neither of us were alive for the time. But Frentzen in 1999.
But I am well aware, yes.
It was very consistent throughout the season. He got this race win late doors, like four or five rounds to go. And suddenly he was right in the conversation.
Yep.
And then there was one error
at the European Grand Prix
his race engineer.
Nürburgring.
Yeah. and he was just out of the race. Obviously cost him, I don't know, six, eight points, however much it was. And then he's just completely out. The momentum's gone and he's not even got a hope. I'm just really concerned that something will happen to Max in the next two races that will just like completely obliterate any chance. Because he's got to be pretty much perfect between now and the end of the season, I think.
I mean, I've been saying this for ages. I still think Vegas will be championship deciding. And I mean, we saw it the last couple of years, haven't we? It can be an incredibly low grip surface,
yeah.
Lap one. I mean, you talk about hypotheticals. It could well be an Andrea Kimi Antonelli, like Austria, locks up and takes him out. But of course, it's also completely fair that you end up with another COTA sprint and the McLarens wipe each other out.
Yeah.
The momentum can so quickly swing in either favour. And it's something I want to make sure we do more of next year as well, obviously, depending on whether we actually get a championship fight. But
well,
I really want to
dominate,
put more...
So I don't think that's
exactly.
Happen.
Baltoletto's going to win the championship. I really want to next year put more emphasis on doing like the quizzes and stuff and asking who people think is going to be champion and kind of stacking up and seeing how much that data shifts
across
over
the course of
race weekends like this. Because, I mean, even just you, Jamie, it's been fascinating. Kind of going from, obviously, you know, after Zandvoort and stuff like that, obviously he's 100 points back going, it's not going to happen. So
well,
suddenly you get out of Cota, it's like, he's actually going to do it, Matt, and you're going to hate it. And then you get out of Mexico and suddenly you're like, oh yeah, he's not going to do
it. Not
going to
do it again. The thing, this has been a great season for the championship. It's been, obviously, the first three-way championship fight we've had since 2010, effectively.
Yep.
Probably, you could argue
2012 should have been.
Should have been, but it wasn't towards the end. Yeah, I just think we've been treated to a great season. I'd be a bit sad if it doesn't come down to Abu Dhabi at all. I see that as being quite unlikely because I think even if Max is in it or not, the McLaren drivers won't be 25 points apart going into Abu Dhabi.
You'd hope not, wouldn't you?
Piastri,
but then again, if Oscar keeps delivering like he did in Mexico.
Piastri has not won since Zandvoort. Obviously, Norris got that win in Mexico, but before that, hadn't won since Hungary. So...
Yep.
They're not on good form, really, the two McLaren drivers. Obviously, Norris got that win in Mexico, which could go a long way. But yeah,
mate,
I think George Russell
and
Charles Leclerc could still have some words to say as well, because they could easily get a win apiece between now and the end of the season, really.
Yeah,
so,
I keep saying it. I don't know how many times I've said it. I think Mexico will be... Las Vegas even will be a great opportunity. It could be a great opportunity for Ferrari. And,
yeah.
Of course, they're basically going out with, you know, Ferrari don't care if they finish second, third or fourth in the constructors.
They do a little bit.
They don't. You've got to remember, even if Ferrari's F1 team is structured within the greater organisation anyway, it means even less to them.
True.
Because, obviously, they haven't got to go back to the board to get more funding or anything. Obviously, they can't go back to the board to get more funding. We have a budget cap in place.
Exactly.
But, obviously, for Ferrari, they've always got enough money to cover it. It's not on the notes, Jamie, but have you seen, obviously, all of the British-based teams and VCARB submitted their earnings for last year?
No, I didn't see that, actually.
Absolutely fascinating. So Mercedes easily had the most profit. Mm-hmm. They had over $120 million in
profit. Well, you know why that is, don't you? They've budgeted Hamilton's salary for the last 10 years, and then suddenly that's
gone. Exactly. It's not there anymore. But Mercedes had more profit than Haas had turnover, so
wow.
Mercedes could operate Haas within their profit margin.
That is ridiculous.
Which is kind of wild.
Yeah, and all of the big teams hit the cost cap so easily that really F1 is just a money making scheme for them.
Pretty much now. This is the thing, isn't it?
It's not like the late
Red Bulls, your Ferraris.
The late noughties where people were throwing 20 engines a season at it was a bit different. But
exactly,
financial crisis happened since then. So, but this is not knowing what's the word?
Finance.
Knowing finance, knowing actuarial science. There's a word for you. Right, let's move on. On that note,
that's all Jamie's going to add to that. Franco Colapinto is staying,
yes.
but isn't staying.
Yeah, it's not 100% confirmed yet. The line that Alpine are towing is still. They're choosing between Paul Aaron and Franco Colapinto, though the pendulum is absolutely swinging in the favour of Colapinto at the moment. And
I mean, he's doing incredibly well.
Yeah.
Is he?
Genuinely, I think since the summer break, he's been all right. He's been matching Gasly in qualifying. Obviously, you could argue that Gasly is basically checked out of this season because the car is so awful.
Basically, he's completely checked out.
They've not scored points. I say they. Gasly has scored all of Alpine's points. Gasly has not scored points since Belgium. And it still amazes me that he somehow finished 10th in Belgium in the Alpine. I think they're just not going to rock the boat with Colapinto, to be honest. And it wouldn't surprise me if this is one of those bits of news that is announced after we record, before the podcast goes live, to be honest.
I mean, it's South American Grand Prix this weekend, isn't it?
Exactly.
It would kind of be the perfect time to.
Last year, obviously the crowd are going mental for Colapinto all weekend, up until the point where he brought out the red flag in the race.
For the third time,
Yeah, I think this is a done deal. And given that in a backmarker car, you can only compare versus your teammates, I think this will. I think he's done all right since summer break. But then saying that, Gasly, historically, if you look at the times when Alpine have been really slow, Gasly's mentality drops a bit, which is maybe a bit of a negative point on him as a driver. But I remember at the start of 24 when it
was. But what else can he do sensibly? Like, they're not going to finish above. Like, even if they got a Brazil. Like, I'm pretty certain now, if they got exactly the same result as they did in Brazil last year, they would still be a decent way off in last. 33 points would still mean they're 7 behind Sauber.
Really? Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely mad, isn't it? They need to get a 1-3 to be ahead of Sauber overall.
Yeah. It's been really good for the competitiveness in the midfield, but that's kind of cost Alpine a lot because 60 points
and
finishing 9th.
And they absolutely deserve it.
Well, I do agree with you. But yeah, I think it makes sense. Colapinto certainly has stopped crashing as much as he was in the early doors. I think the pressure that Flavio put on him around like Imola Monaco time was really bad for him as a driver.
I think you talk about the pressure and all this, that and the other. I think it's just, again, people kind of had a distorted view of how well Colapinto did at the end of last year. He basically had a couple of good Grand Prix and then spent most of his time trashing Williams.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Well, yeah,
and
I guess...
And he just brought that over to Alpine.
Our perspective on Alex Albon was quite distorted because of he'd been teammates with Latifi and Sargeant for 2 years.
Yep.
So when Colapinto was like a bit close to Albon, we were like, he's the greatest of all time, which, you know, it's a good sign to be close to Albon. As Carlos Sainz has showed, it's a bit of a struggle, but he is a perfectly adequate driver, like quick on his day but a bit inconsistent. It's kind of what you expect from a rookie, to be honest. And yeah, I do think he probably deserves at least one more year.
Do you think so?
Looking at the field of who's available, I don't think anyone would do much better, to be honest.
I still firmly believe you take a punt on whoever Red Bull drop, whether that's Tsunoda or Lawson, if it was me.
Possibly, yeah.
Because you know full well there'll be an incredibly cheap date to get in. But then it's that whole thing, isn't it, about how much money is Colapinto bringing in as well, which sadly
is also
an important factor.
I'm not a million... Like, I'm not 100% confident that Arvid Lindblad even gets on the grid because he's been pretty average in the last few F2 rounds. It might be that Lindblad doesn't want to stay off the grid in 26 and therefore there's no Red Bull.
They'll shove him in. Red Bull won't not swap anybody at the moment.
I'm not sure they can. Like, it's been a long time, hasn't it?
You just put Lindblad in V-carb and take a punt. I mean, the bizarre thing is, isn't it, is I personally still feel like Yuki Tsunoda deserves to be on the grid. But you're kind of there going, he's a very known quantity now, isn't he?
Yeah.
And if someone like Bottas or, you know, you can make the argument, obviously, Perez as well. I know he didn't do that well at Red Bull, but who does?
Max Verstappen.
You know, you kind of think, well, yeah, exactly. but you kind of think, Would it be a big shock or a big crying shame if Yuki got dropped, of course, if he ends up going to Aston Martin down the line? Because, no. Of course, the other big one, of course, is that Hamilton might call it a career after next year.
Well, call it, or is he going to get pushed? I don't know.
I mean, he might get pushed at Ferrari, but if you don't think Hamilton could get a seat anywhere after that,
true.
I mean, you'd be...
Do you think he'd want a seat anywhere else? Like,
well, that's the big question. Could McLaren, he go back to Merck?
McLaren wouldn't take him. Mercedes... I don't think he'd go back to Mercedes.
Would McLaren not take him if something happened between Lando and Oscar?
I don't think so. They're a very forward-thinking team, and Hamilton by the end of 26 is going to be 42. So
yeah, I suppose.
I just don't.
So it kind of depends where McLaren are, I guess, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But the story is that Ferrari have not been overly enamoured by Lewis Hamilton's performances in his first season. Obviously, he's got the record for the most races for Ferrari without a podium, which, as a Nico Hülkenberg fan, I'm going to cling on to that forever. That Lewis Hamilton now holds a similar record.
Hülkenberg has more Ferrari-powered podiums than Hamilton does, if you exclude the 08 McLaren.
Well, it was still Mercedes-powered, wasn't it?
It wasn't quite Ferrari-powered, it was just Ferrari-designed.
Yes, with a silver livery on it. But anyway, yeah, the thought is he won't extend for 27, because right now it's a 2+1 at Ferrari. Yep. They're going to stick Ollie Bearman in, because P4 in Mexico has made everyone go a bit mental in Italy. And
he's been cooking more recently.
He has had
a decent upward trend, to his credit.
He has, and he's still only 19, obviously. So by the end of 26, he might be nearly ready to get battered by Charles Leclerc.
Unless Leclerc goes elsewhere. And then we end up with Bearman and Hamilton at Ferrari.
Leclerc's not going anywhere. Leclerc is in prison at Ferrari. He's never getting out. Yeah.
He's also engaged, which I'm sure people are sad that we're not really going to talk about because we don't really care.
No, exactly. It just gives the F1 TV directors more reason to film his fiancée during a race.
I'll give them credit, actually. The last couple of weeks, they have been very good with that. We didn't see a single fiancée shot in Cota.
They have.
I don't know about Mexico.
We didn't in Mexico either. We saw Ollie Bearman's dad and that was it. So, you know, that's probably fair enough when he's P3.
Very sweaty armpits.
Really?
Yeah, he did when they showed him.
I guess it's Mexico City. How hot is it up there?
Well, surely you've got air conditioning, though.
There's an open-fronted garage, isn't it? That won't do much.
Yeah. Well, look at the Qatar World Cup, man.
Well, you've been in the garage. Tell me what it's like.
Well, it was about 14 degrees and raining when I went in the Red Bull one a couple of years ago. And I was more confused by the fact I was flinching because I had Jos Verstappen behind me.
Oof. You're not the first one to flinch near Jos Verstappen.
No, exactly. I think he was going to, like, kick about every woman he's ever been near, I assume. That's right. We're going down a very dark rabbit hole.
Yeah, we are.
But anyway,
Hamilton might be off after 26.
Yeah, but I also do firmly believe as well, Hamilton would also kind of be like, if Ferrari are umming and ahhing about it, I do also see Hamilton kind of being like, you know what? I like the kid. He's British as well. I want to give him his big chance. And
exactly.
If that means rather than doing a 2+1, if next year's car isn't where he wants it to be or anything like that, could I see him then calling it, or could I see him trying to go somewhere else for one last?
I don't genuinely, and this isn't bait.
I genuinely don't know.
This isn't trying to rinse Lewis Hamilton, because obviously he's one of the greatest of all times. At 42 years old, having lost to Charles Leclerc for 2 years, his stock is not that high after 26. I don't think he could just walk into a team
and
take a seat.
But surely to have a seven-time world champion is worth it just in the opportunity alone.
It is, but I don't know. Say it is Mercedes, for instance, who are the fastest team in 26. If Lewis Hamilton knocks on the door and says, will you take me back for a year? When they've got George Russell winning championships and Kimi Antonelli, 19 years old, winning races, they're not just going to bin one of them off.
No,
yeah,
no.
They're not going to bin one off for a 42-year-old Lewis Hamilton who's just lost to Leclerc for 2 years and not got any podiums. I just don't see it. I think the only way...
It would have to be down to whether Lewis really wants to stay in the sport, isn't it, I think? Because he
exactly.
could get a drive... somewhere
he
if
could
he, wanted
he
to.
Could but it would be an Alonso move where he's just taking punts on the midfield teams being really good after
well, it's
1 year.
Been Alonso since 2008,
well 2013 arguably, but yes. I just, if he wants to stay, I'm sure he could, but the route to stay would be, you know, chill at a Williams, to be honest, or something like that. So I personally
sorry, could have made his debut. Could happen. Yeah, you just go to Alpine alongside Gasly for some reason.
Me. You do hope not. Although
it's the only
powered,
reason why
Alonso's
sticking around, though, isn't it? Because it's the only stat he's got over Lewis is he's done more races.
It's the only stat he's got over everyone in Formula 1.
Well, exactly.
You know, Aston Martin have got
Lewis
600,
is right up there now, isn't he?
600 Grand Prix starts between them. Yeah. The Aston Martin drivers.
Is Lewis second on the list now, or is he still behind Kimi? I think he's still behind. No, he is second now. He's only behind Fernando. That is kind of mad, isn't it? For Hamilton.
Well, that's 376 because he's getting longer and longer.
Yeah, I know that as well, but he's also 18 seasons is pretty... I mean, that's the same as Barrichello.
Yeah.
He's pretty much... I mean, yeah, apart from, obviously, Fernando. I think the mad thing, obviously, with Fernando is the fact he's missed three seasons in that time. Fernando's been in Formula 1 now for 24 years.
Yeah.
He's, or in, obviously, start
he debuted when we were, like, 1 year old, and now we're, exactly. like, here we are.
You weren't even a year old. I was just a year old.
Yeah, I wasn't even yet. Yeah, crazy.
He's kind of insane, isn't it?
It is. It is. We should talk about something else. Very quickly.
We should.
Liam Lawson was obviously very annoyed with the FIA and the Mexican track officials that he almost ran down in Turn 1,
Rightfully
2 and 3.
Rightfully so.
Rightfully yep. so, obviously. And we completely back Liam Lawson here. The Mexican... Was it the government? I don't know who it was. Someone Mexican.
No, it was the motorsport president or something.
Yes, they have blamed
Liam Lawson.
The Mexican
government have got bigger things to deal with.
They've blamed Liam Lawson for not taking enough avoiding action, given that he almost ran people down, which is absolutely ridiculous.
I would argue the fact he didn't hit them means he probably took enough avoiding action.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think the Mexican Motorsport Federation have still got a bee in their bonnet about when he flagged Checo Perez last year on the main straights.
Probably. Yeah, gave him the bird.
This is absolutely... It's not much of a headline, but it's. I just wanted to highlight how ridiculous it is, to be honest.
It is quite bizarre. Quite bizarre.
Yes.
You've also put on the notes, Jamie, that something happened in NASCAR.
I know nothing about this.
Do you want me to give you the full story? Because it will take a while. Or would you rather we just do the quiz? Because this isn't
Let's
a NASCAR
do the quiz.
Show.
Yes.
You want to do the quiz? Well, you've got a quiz for me then.
I have. Because did you see that a famous former Formula 1 driver has called it quits on his racing career this last week?
Jenson Button.
Exactly.
This weekend, Bahrain. Is it the last ever race?
It is. The 2009 world champion. Won many a race in Formula 1.
He
15
did.
Races, actually, which is pretty good
15
going.
15 races?
Your question for today is no timer. You've got as long as you want until you get one wrong. You've got to... there are... How many answers? There are 14...
Is it everybody that shared a podium with him?
Everyone who stood on the podium when he won. So it's slightly easier. Yes. Yeah. So you've got as long as you want until you get one wrong. I'll put you on the clock eventually. Go.
Okay. So... I'm trying to think about how to do this in a good order. Rubens Barrichello.
That is not where I would have started, but you got it right.
I'm just thinking Braun, my friend. Trying to think. Obviously, Sebastian Vettel.
Correct. Good start.
Timo Glock.
Oh, correct. That was one I thought you might not get.
Okay. Nick Heidfeld.
Correct as well.
Mark Webber?
Indeed. That was a hideous accent.
Yeah, thank you. I can't do an Australian accent.
Neither can I, clearly.
How many are there, sorry, again, did you say?
There are eight more. And you've got more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there's over 13 to begin with. Which is a bit mad.
Lewis Hamilton.
In 15
yeah, that's not
race
that many
wins.
For 15 wins.
Yes, Lewis Hamilton is correct.
Fernando Alonso.
Correct.
I'm trying to remember, obviously, who he finished on the podium with in 06 at Hungary. Because Alonso crashed out. I mean, it wasn't his fault, to be fair.
And he had a wheel nut issue,
didn't he? Yeah, I know. I'm pretty certain Schumacher an absolute stinker. I feel like, I'm not saying this as a guess, I feel like Pedro De La Rosa ended up on the podium in that race. Or did he come like fifth? Because I'm pretty certain Kimi also crashed out with a lapped car during that race. So I don't know whether De La Rosa got P3 or whether I'm like, just misremembering he got like fifth or something, but it was just a good job because that was the first race Montoya was gone. Button basically couldn't win a race if Montoya was on the grid. So I know Montoya wasn't on that podium.
There's a lot you easier ones to go for than the
I know there is
exactly Hungarian Grand Prix podium.
Yeah, I know. Trying to think, 2010. Again, another one that I don't want to guess, but I do is Rosberg. But I don't think so. He might have done. But I just don't feel like I'd ever remember Button and Rosberg on a podium together. Did I say Felipe Massa?
Not yet.
I'm going to say Felipe Massa then, because that was correct. We already spoke about it on this episode, the 2010 Australian Grand Prix. Oh, Vitaly Petrov. Did he finish second in Australia? Or am I being... No, that was 2011. Ignore me.
Oh,
I'm not guessing that.
Okay, well, no, there's your... You got eight, but carry on.
Okay. I panicked then. I just remember Petrov's start of one of the Australian Grand Prix.
That was
mental.
That was 2011,
it?
Yeah.
That was 2011, wasn't it? I'm trying to think who else was on... I think it was Vettel. Who was on the podium in Canada 2011? I'm trying to think. Because I know, obviously, it wasn't Schumacher. I don't believe Button and Schumi ever shared a podium with a Button win. I don't think. I'm trying to think who else in 2009. Timo Glock.
I think...
Y'all know Trulli didn't share a podium with him, did he? Or anything
like
that?
Is that an answer?
Oh, I don't know. It isn't unless it's right.
There's five left, and you've named four of them.
Have I? Really? So we're going to say Jarno Trulli.
Correct.
Are we going to say Pedro de la Rosa?
Correct.
Are we going to say, is Michael Schumacher on there?
No, he's not.
No, okay, didn't
your last so. Few. Nico Rosberg.
He was Rosberg, okay.
In 2010.
I want to try and get the one that I haven't
China.
Already said. Yeah, was that China, was it?
Yeah, Rosberg was third in China 2010.
Yeah, of course he was.
You've got Spa 2012, P3.
Because that was Button's only ever McLaren pole, 2012 Belgium.
It was.
Fun fact.
And then your Australian P2 in 2010, which is... You almost got, I'll put it there.
Oh, man. Trying to think, Australia P2. I know it wasn't Fernando, because again, we already discussed it. Can't have been Mark Webber.
No.
I've already said him. It wasn't Seb. Well, obviously, wasn't Rosberg.
The viewers are
was
going
it
to
Kubica?
Be very annoyed. Yes, it was Robert Kubica.
It was Kubica, yeah. Okay. Yeah, you kind of always forget that Kubica was still there in 2010, because you just remember him being with BMW.
Yeah,
before that.
But he had a good year
did
with
Did he share a podium with Button's win in 2009 then, as well?
Who?
Kubica.
No, his only one was okay. Australia.
Okay.
The last one, do you want to put out your misery?
Can you tell me the
2012
Belgium.
Sorry. Yeah.
Was it a Raikkonen?
It was Kimi Raikkonen.
Okay.
There you go. You did all right. The Vitaly Petrov shout.
I mean, it's a bit confusing how many I actually got.
You got 8 out of 13 until you got Petrov wrong.
Okay.
There you go. Good effort.
I'll take that.
Shout out to Jensen Button. What a guy.
So, which one did you... Because Jamie said to me pre-show, like, you should be able to get most of them, but there was one you won't get. Was that...
That was
De La Rosa.
I was like, there's not a chance you're remembering De La Rosa.
And I immediately said to you, I was like, that'll be the only one I do get.
Yeah.
Because I'll remember some really obscure thing.
Yeah, no, he finished second on McLaren debut, which is...
I thought it was third, but yeah, I couldn't remember whether he did, like, well enough or whether he'd actually bagged a podium on his return to the team.
And Button started 14th that race.
He did, yeah. Much better drive than Max in Brazil last year.
Although Button also did just get lucky because all of the
there was a bit of luck in there as well.
Crashed out, basically. He won by 30 seconds from 14th on the grid.
He's just that good, is JB. Jensen Button, he's done it!
Oh, what a commentary. Right, let's get on to our predictions very quickly because I've got to go to work in 5 minutes.
So, what are the scores on the doors, JB183?
The scores are pinned in Discord. Let me look at that. Oh, dear for you. I am on 68.
Yeah, I know.
And you're on 50.
Is it 18 now?
So it's almost...
Yeah, I guess it was 14 and then you pulled out more. Yeah.
It's almost mathematically impossible.
It could be wrapped up after Vegas.
Which is mad.
No, because we've got 36 points still available, which sounds like a lot.
But that means you've got to get everything right. I'm pretty confident
exactly.
I'm going to win already. I could probably predict the two Saubers and an Alpine on the podium and still win.
Keep doing it then. The thing is, though, then that would happen, and I'd never forgive myself.
It's a sprint race, so we've got an extra sprint.
There is an extra 2 points. So I'm going
to
say sprint winner... Lando Norris. I'm going to say pole position. Max Verstappen. I'm going to say race winner. Lando Norris.
Interesting.
I'm going to say second is... I hate doing this because I really want to back him, but I'm not going to.
Do it.
Just because whenever I back someone, it's terrible. I'm going to say Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc.
So exactly the same podium as...
No, Max and Leclerc the way around.
But it's just Ann Coulter in Mexico. Those three were on the podium together, weren't they?
They were, yeah. So I'm going to keep that form up. I want to back Oscar, but I'm hoping, again, like I predicted Max to dominate Mexico, I'm hoping that, therefore, it doesn't happen. I'm happy to sacrifice this for the greater good of Formula One.
I'm going Max.
Hang on a minute. I already said Max for pole.
I could do the same thing.
No, you can't. That's always been the gentleman's agreement.
Okay.
Otherwise, if ever I'm winning, I just pick exactly the same as you forever.
I'll go for Norris on pole, Max win then.
Oh, I hate that now because Norris is going to be on pole and now I feel like a mug.
Just like last year, Norris, pole, Max win.
Okay.
I'll go... George... Yeah, why not? George Russell second, Lando Norris
third. Little Georgie Russell. Hey, who's third?
Norris.
Oh, so you're really still on the Max is somehow going to do this bandwagon.
I am. Why not?
Fair enough.
I've got a big enough lead in the championship, so let's just
You can
go
afford
for it.
To risk this for the greater good.
Exactly.
I don't blame you. Exactly. I don't blame
Max
you,
would
sir.
Be, what, within a race win of...
He would.
Of both McLarens, happened, if those things happen. Would. Yeah.
I hate Formula One right now, Jamie.
Oh, I love it.
I've just gone on F1.com to see if there's been any breaking news, and I met with Carlos Sainz teaches Amelia de Moldenberg how to drive. And I've never been more disappointed in the sport I love.
Yeah, don't spend
get
much time
to know fun. Alexandra Sanmilieu, Charles Leclerc's fiance. No,
she's
I
not
don't
a driver.
Care. Hey,
she's what not a driver.
Say? Oh, I thought you said she's quite fit.
No, why would I have said that?
I don't know. Speaking your mind, I guess.
Wow, fair I think enough. That's a bit of a Freudian slip from your ears.
I don't think so.
Right, let's end the show before we get in more trouble.
Before Jamie tells us his true feelings about Alexander
I didn't say
Sam
a word. You're making it all up.
No, I'm gonna Photoshop that. Photoshop edit that in now. You're gonna go, core blimey.
Flipping out. Okay.
That is probably the worst end to a show we've ever done. But thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure you leave a like. Get yourself subscribed. I assume we're gonna have a podcast nice and early next week,
yes.
Jamie. I've missed hearing your voice. But yeah, no wheel will be back, and hopefully enjoy the Brazilian Grand Prix.